This morning to Luke chapter number 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 1. In Luke chapter number 1, we have the beginning of the Christmas story, well, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, at least what happens to with John the Baptist's parents, and then also with Mary finding out about having a baby. And don't worry, I don't plan on speaking about Christmas every single different service during the month of December, but this is kind of how the Lord laid upon my heart. Tonight is really the message I was planning for this morning, and the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart about switching the Sunday morning and Sunday night. Last year 2020, we had a theme called Considered, and we went through a series called The Great Questions of the Bible, and I really enjoyed that series. This one thing that I learned a lot, talked about how when God asks us a question, he's not trying to gain knowledge. He's trying to show us something about ourselves or show us something that we need to learn, things like that. And when we ask God a question, things that we all need to learn. And there's this great question in the Bible I wanted to preach all last year and never found peace about it. And it was God speaking to Job. And he made this comment in Job 38, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." And then he asks this question, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding." And it's a question that puts us in our place. Job is there, and he's done well so far, but at one point in time, he begins the question and begins saying, "I'm going to ask God this, I'm going to ask God that." And God responds and says, "Okay, Job, now where were you again when we laid the foundations of the world?" And the reality is, he wasn't there yet. I mean, God knew what was going to happen, obviously, and it's sort of like when we start asking God questions about, God, why do you do? I don't think God minds us if we ask questions, if we're interested in learning. But when we get up there, and I've had people say, "Well, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to tell God a thing or two." I think they're going to be surprised by that. And when there's people out there that, you know, start saying, "I don't think God knows what he's doing. I don't think God has got this right." This question is, you know, where were you when the worlds were formed? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And if you want to go home and read Job 38 and 39 and Job 40, he just gives response after response after response about nature, saying, "Hey, I do this and I do that, and I can do this and I can do that and I can do this and that. And Job, what is it that you can do again?" And it's just, we don't have to tell God how to do things. And that's the title of this morning's message is, you don't have to tell God how to do it. And God just asks us to trust. And once again, God is patient, God is loving, God is kind, and God is there and he's working through us. And when we come to this moment in time, we consider Christmas, we turn around and we think, everything's got to be perfect. And nobody should have to suffer during Christmas. And the reality, there is suffering sometimes. The reality is, we don't have to tell God what we should do or need to do. God has it all under control. We don't have to be afraid. If you go back to that first Christmas, there was a lot of people, even before the first Christmas, when we look at a little bit for a second here about Zacharias and Elizabeth, there are a lot of people who things weren't turning out the exact way that they expected. And who are we to tell God how to do things? Now, if we were going to bring Jesus to earth, you know, who would we use? And, you know, what kingdom would he be in? And what palace? And we would figure all these things out. And we look at God sometimes like, "God, why did you do it this way? God, why did you have to do this? God, shouldn't you have done it this way? And God, shouldn't you have done it this way?" And we just begin to question. I just want you to trust the Lord and realize, I don't have to tell God how to do things. God knows what he's doing. And God can take all those things that look like a mess and work it together for good. Like we learned about in Sunday school this morning, not just working together for good, but to begin to form us and conform us into the image of his son. He brings these things all past so that way we can look more like Jesus in the end. So today we're going to look at some different Bible stories dealing with Christmas, and I might be shooting myself in the foot mentioning all three of these because I might not want to mention it later on, but we'll see how the Lord leads when it comes to the series this Christmas. But I want you to just think in this mind, you don't have to tell God how to do it. The first thing I want you to think about is trust God even when you don't get what you want. Trust God even when you don't get what you want. And we bring this to the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth here, and it's an amazing couple that has such a great testimony, but you know what? They never had a child. And it's an interesting thought, and I know when the Lord years ago had brought this thought, I know I've thought brought this thought out before, but I think it's so important. Some people's Christmases are based upon what they get. If they get what they want, then they're happy. If they don't get what they want, they're disappointed. They're forgetting what Christmas is all about. And I want you to look at a couple here this morning that says, you know what, even though I'm not getting what I'm praying for, even though I'm not getting what I desire and maybe desire most in life, I'm still going to do what's right. I'm going to still live for God. And that's what I love about this story about this older couple. Look at their testimony. It says in verse number 5 of Luke chapter number 1, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, I love this testimony. There's not a lot of better testimonies in all the Word. And it says in verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God. Now, this word righteous is referring to being innocent and holy by implication, someone whose character and have act. Now, here's the difference between us, a lot of people, and Elizabeth and Zacharias. They did this before God. So many times we do it before man, but they're doing it before the Lord. They're righteous before God. Now, that should be our desire. And then when he looks at them, he says, they're righteous people. This is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we're not just living for man. We want to be righteous before God. We don't want our friends and our family just say, hey, there's a righteous person. He is saying that he is actually being righteous before God. He knew all their thoughts. He knew all their intents. And he said that these people were people who were righteous. Were they perfect? No, they were not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect man except for Jesus Christ or a perfect woman. And keeps on going. And it says, and they were both righteous before God. And look at this next description or testimony, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. So they're someone who is not just knowing the ordinance, just not knowing the commandments. They're someone who's walking in them, meaning that they're living those. It's not just having understanding what they should do. It means that they're in a conscious state of walking according to the commandments and ordinances of God. This next one says, of the Lord, and that last phrase, blameless. You say blameless? I mean, they never did anything wrong. What that word is talking about is that they could not find blame or fault. Saying it's like when they watched Daniel to try to figure out what was wrong with Daniel, and they came back, we can't find anything wrong with this guy, but how much he loves his God. And they're saying that Elizabeth and Zacharias were known for being righteous and that they were walking in the commandments and that they were blameless before to God. They were above reproach. They were faultless. Surely, these are people that God would want to bless and give them everything they prayed for. But you see what it says in verse number seven, and they had no child. And I know sometimes that's a hard thing because God gives people children. God doesn't give people children sometimes. I believe, especially back in Bible times, it was a great desire of a lady. Many times the lady were looked down upon if she was not able to have a child. But the thing that amazes me is they trusted God, even though they didn't get what they want. I think many times in our Christian lives, if we get what we want, we have no problem serving God. God will answer my prayers and God will do what I want him to do. If God will be my servant, then I'm going to trust him and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. That's not the right way to look at God. It is sort of like when God says to Job, are you really asking me this? Tell me again where you were when you laid the foundation of the world. Wait, I laid the foundation. And I know God's not going to be sarcastic like that. And I know there are sometimes in the scriptures that he brings a point to a decision and says, remember who you are. And Zacharias and Elizabeth had this story, and in this wonderful story, they trusted God even when they weren't getting everything they wanted. And that's an important biblical truth. It's a great Christmas truth when people are saying, my Christmas is based upon whether or not so-and-so can come home. No, Jesus came. That's what your Christmas is based upon. My Christmas is based upon whether or not I can have the perfect lights and the perfect decorations and the perfect meal and the perfect this and the perfect gift and the perfect that. No. Jesus still came no matter whether or not your meal really stinks and your decorations blow up. It doesn't really matter. He's still God. He still came. And we should do and trust in him no matter what's going on in this world, even when we don't get what we desire. The wonderful thing is God gives us so many things that we do desire. Let's keep on reading this story. There's a couple other things I'd like to show you before we go to the next one. And they had no child in verse number 7 because that Elizabeth was barren. And it showed that it was Elizabeth's fault. Or at least the way the Lord had made her. And they both were well stricken in years, meaning that they were old, past the childbearing years. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. So he's serving God, even though he's not getting what he desires. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Remember, that is a great message that all the angels are saying, especially during the Christmas story. You don't have to be afraid. Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, here's the question. Do we think that Zacharias and Elizabeth are still praying for a child? Or do we think it's a prayer from a long time ago? You know, sometimes when we pray a prayer, you know, God answers. Sometimes it's a yes, but sometimes it's delayed. Well, how do I know if it doesn't matter? You trust in it. That's the idea there. The angel is saying, thy prayer has been, and praise the Lord, the prayer is heard. Our prayers are heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have, and look at the benefits that are going to come with this child. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And God had a plan. God was working it out. He was prophesied years earlier about this one that was going to come before Jesus. He was going to be the one that lays the way for Jesus Christ. But Zacharias and Elizabeth had to trust. They didn't know that. They didn't know when they were getting up well stricken in years that was going to happen. They were going to have this miraculous birth, and that their son was going to be the John the Baptist. And that they didn't know any of that. They had to trust him. So I want to encourage you this morning that whatever happening is happening in your life, even though you might not getting the things that you think that you need, we don't see Zacharias and Elizabeth being sad. We don't see Zacharias and Elizabeth, who knows, they may have been sad, but we don't see them stop serving. We don't see them change how they believe it. If God's not going to give me what I want, I'm not going to listen to this commandment. I'm not going to listen to this ordinance. I'm going to pick and choose what I want. We don't see them living a life that people can look at and say, you know what, I bet they're bitter because of the fact that they can't have a child. They were blameless. And they were righteous, not before man only, because if a person is righteous before God, he's going to be righteous before man also. And I want to encourage you today, trust God, even though you may not be getting what you think you need. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, they turned around, they got something special from the Lord. They trusted in him. They let their faith in God dictate how they were going to live, not just the things that they received from God. Think about it. How many of us are trusting God even when we don't get what we want? We've seen Mr. Jesse and Mr. Wesley pass this fall, and it's been very sad. How many of us would have been praying and saying, well, we wish they were here and we wanted them to be healed. We didn't get what we want. Does that mean that we should stop serving God? The answer is no. We should trust him. We should believe in him. And we see in this story here that this is an example of a couple that was well stricken in age. Many years have passed by. Many years they have not heard, had their prayer answered, at least the way they desired, and they still serve God. You don't really have to tell God how to do things. God has it all in control. Well, if they would have told Zacharias and they would have told Elizabeth about John the Baptist when they were in their 20s, then they probably would have been happy looking for it. It's not God's job to tell us, hey, this is what I'm going to do. It's God's job for us. It's our job to be faithful and have faith in what God's going to have us to do. And our Christmas should not be dictated on what we may get or not get. And we shouldn't be saying, hey, kids, if you're good, you're going to get a present. You know, it's something there. It's because of the fact that it's what's right to do. Second thing I want you to think about is trusting God even when you have questions. Trusting God even when you have questions. Go ahead and in verse number 26, we see the stories beginning with Mary here. And it says in verse number 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, same phrase, fear not. We don't have to be afraid. Even when we have questions, we can trust the Lord. He said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, this is Elizabeth from verses earlier, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And her, who was called barren, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So the first thing is, trust God even when things aren't going like the way you think you should, or you're not getting what you should. Second thing is, trust God when you have questions. And there are questions out there. Sometimes there are things that we're wondering about. Even Mary is getting this answer from this angel, getting this vision, or the angel comes there and she asks this question, how shall this be? It's a reasonable question. And it's not the fact that sometimes the questions we have are not reasonable. It's just the fact that we still trust God. Even though sometimes there are questions out there in life, and it's like, hey, I wonder why God's allowing this to happen. Or I wonder why is God allowing America to turn to do all these things? And why is God this? And why is God that? We need to still trust God, even during our questions. And I love the answer. I love the response that the angel gave. And he says in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So when you have questions, it's whether or not you have faith. Do you believe that God can do all things? Do you believe that God can answer this question? And that's what the angel is saying, Mary, I'll explain to you what's going to happen. Because he's allowing the things to know in verse number 35, and verse 36, how this is going to happen. But the response is, you know, for with God, all things are possible. And if we believe that, then our questions are answered because I can trust God. Even if I do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, even if I don't understand why my family is headed this way, or why God has placed me in this spot, or why God is allowing these things to happen, that's fine, that's good, but I can trust in Him. I can trust in Him because of the fact there's nothing impossible with God. I can trust in Him when I'm not getting what I want, because I know God could give me what He wanted, and there's some reason why He's not. I know I can trust God even when I question. I don't understand how all these things are going to work out. I don't understand how all the details are going to fall in place. I don't see how God can make this work. I don't see how God can make this thing together. But how many times in the Bible do we see that? How many times in the Bible do we see people not getting what they want, but God making it work out? You know, I'm sure that Joseph probably had questions while being in the prison after being sold by his brothers. You think about Daniel, probably didn't get what he wanted, be taken into slavery and going to Babylon. I mean, Esther probably wasn't somebody who was signing up to be part of the king's harem. Ruth didn't really want her husband to die, I'm sure, the first one. All those different things. They didn't get what they wanted, but they could trust God. And I know today that we live in is there's hard times and there's struggling times and we have questions. And I don't think God minds questions as we're looking and seeking for an answer. If we're looking for truth and we want to know what God is saying, is when we turn around saying, God, you shouldn't have done that. God, I'm mad at you. He said, who would say that? There are people who say that. Yeah. And so, well, God already knows what you're thinking. Just because you might not verbalize it, but the question is, are you trusting him today? Because if we trust in him and if we believe in him, we don't have to tell him how to do things. Now, we do pray. As we pray and we seek his face, he will change our prayers to be according to his will. And yes, we are asking and we're casting our cares upon him, but God knows how to do things right. You don't have to go up there and tell somebody how to do something if they already know how to do it. Same thing with God. You don't have to tell them to do things. And you see the story here, Mary, the response was in verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I know most of us would say, Mary is well-favored of the Lord. Mary gets to bring Jesus into this world. It wasn't an easy thing all the time, though, to live with that reproach of having a baby before getting married, to live with the reproach of people who did not believe in Jesus and probably questioned Mary all those years. She would have questions, but she trusted the Lord, and God was able to bless her and use her. I love the response in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Even though we might have questions, we say, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever it is you want. I don't see everything that you are doing here. I don't understand how you're putting the pieces together. I don't really even agree with the way you're leading me. But God, if this is what you want, sign me up. Sign me up, Lord. I'm just your servant. Because I remember that all things are possible with you. Let's look at another main character in the Bible story. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1, not only we hear about Mary, we do also hear about Joseph. And in Matthew chapter number 1, the angel comes to Joseph and says to him and tells him the story about Mary. So I think we should trust God when it doesn't even make sense. Can you imagine your dear Joseph? And that's what we see Joseph here is he's contemplating. He's thinking. He's wondering in his mind. If you look, it says Matthew chapter number 1, look in verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her an example, was minded to put her away privately. Go to verse number 18 for explanation. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when as his mother Mary was the spouse of Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, here's the thing. He says, trust God even when things don't make sense. Sometimes in our lives, we're sitting there and we're wondering and saying, okay, Lord, I'm trying to make sense of this. And you can imagine what Joseph's going through. He's like, I love this woman. I don't want to make a public example of her. I don't understand all the things that are happening. Who knows if Mary told him already what the angel had said? You would think she would have. And he's sitting there and he's wondering, even when you're wondering, if something doesn't make sense, trust God. I mean, would it have made sense to walk around Jericho every day thinking you're going to destroy it? No. Would it have made sense to be like Gideon and have the trumpet and the pitcher and the light? No. Would it have made sense over and over in the Bible to just keep on going to the Red Sea even though the Egyptians are coming behind you? No. Even when it doesn't make sense, trust the Lord. And that's what you see here, Joseph. He's there, and it says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. You got those words again. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Didn't make any sense. And sometimes when we obey, God will give us clarity. Sometimes we'll never understand why God asks us to do certain things. When you consider his word, you sit there and you look at it and say, well, God, I don't understand how me giving you a tenth of what I make, it's only a very little bit. That doesn't make any sense to me, God. Why should I give that to you? Trust God. Trust God. I don't know why you want me to keep on witnessing, or why you want me to keep on reading your word, or why you want me to forgive others. And there are so many things that we question and we wonder, why in the world would God ask me to do this? You don't have to tell God how to do things. God knows exactly what he's doing. He's been doing all throughout all eternity. He knows exactly what we need and how we need it. All we have to do is learn to trust in him. Sometimes it's like, if I was God, I would do this, or I would do that. And where were you again when he laid the foundation of the world? You weren't there. That's why we had to learn to trust in it. And the cool thing about Mary and the cool thing about Joseph was, even though they were asking questions and even though it didn't make any sense, they obeyed. And I wonder how many in our lives today, there are some things that we're facing and we're wondering, hey, God, this doesn't really make sense. God, I'm not getting what I thought I would get out of this. God, I have these questions, but we're saying, I'm not going to obey until you answer this. Until you give me what I want, I'm not going to give it to you. What God wants is obedience. He wants even more than sacrifice. And I think about the scriptures, what it talked about in Hebrews chapter number 11, talking about all those great people that did things by faith. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And what I'm saying is that even back when it was Abel, and even back when it was Abraham, and even back when it was Jacob, and even back way back then, there was questions, and they were saying, God, I don't understand why you're doing it this way. But they did things by faith. Did they receive those promises? Not all of them. Did Abraham get to live and see all those thousands that was going to be part of his lineage? No. What happened? He trusted God. Even when he didn't get what he thought he was going to get. Even when I'm sure he had questions. Even when some things didn't make sense. Can you imagine Abraham going up and trying to sacrifice Isaac? That would make no sense to me. But what did he do? He trusted the Lord. And we look at him and he was trusted for righteousness' sake. And it was added to him. You know, he did those things that were right. How about in our lives? If it doesn't make sense and we have got questions and we're not getting what we think we should, or things aren't turning out the way we wish that they would and what we've been praying for, what are we going to do? We should trust God, no matter what the situation is. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understandings. That's saying, when it doesn't make sense, still trust the Lord. When it doesn't make any sense to us, trust him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This morning we talked in the Sunday school class about trials. Not the trials that happen because of the husband and wife's relationship, but when trials enter into our relationships through sickness, death, problems with kids, money problems. And we talked about how those trials sometimes can cause a husband and wife to fight one against one another, cause issues. I don't know why sometimes something on the outside causes a husband and wife to be bitter and angry to one another because they don't know how to deal with it. We talked about how that trial can be something that God can use to bring that couple together and to build that couple together by praying together and trusting together and by pressing on together and by all those different things. They can build that couple or that can tear that relationship apart. How is that? What's the difference there? It's trusting. It's trusting that God can take care of things. And when you see this story and the Christmas story in this different way, Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't get what they wanted for all those years. Mary didn't understand and she had questions. But she says, okay, even though I don't have it all, understand, if God's saying I want it, God wants me, behold, I'm his servant. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. And Joseph, I'm sure, thinking, how in the world is Mary pregnant? And he's considering all these things. He's thinking all this stuff doesn't make sense. And God comes and sends the angel in the vision and says what? Hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. And sometimes we want more than okay. Sometimes we want God to write everything out into the clouds and say, this is your next step. But if God did that, we probably wouldn't listen to it either. Because of the fact he tells us what our next step is found in here so many times, and we pick and choose. We stop trusting because it doesn't always make sense. We stop trusting because we haven't got what we think we deserve. We haven't got the position we deserve. We haven't got the power that we deserve. Nobody's listening and nobody understands me. Trust the Lord. You don't have to tell God how to do things. Just trust him in what he's trying to do in your life. I love the response by the angel, all three of them. Fear not, fear not, fear not. You don't have to be afraid today. You can trust the Lord. He'll take care of things. But pastor, I'm not getting what I think I should have. It's okay. Trust him. But pastor, it doesn't make any sense. It's okay. The Bible says don't be afraid. But pastor, I got these questions. It's okay. God's got the answer. I'll reveal it to you when he wants to. You don't have to tell God how to do things. All you need to do is trust him. Thankfully, he tells us in his word so many wonderful truths that we know we can trust him. We can have confidence because of those things we've seen him go through. We can have confidence because we've seen the stories over and over how things sometimes didn't make sense. But when people were faithful to God, God gave them exactly what they needed, when they needed it, many times better than they ever expected. You know, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were told them at the beginning, hey, you can have two or three kids in their 20s, or you can wait and have this miraculous child and have John the Baptist. I think they probably would have picked John the Baptist. I would have said, my child could be used by God like that? Yeah. Remember, God can take a mess and make it work together for good. And when we trust in him, he makes us look a little bit more like Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. Trust him. Trust him and trust him. So it goes back to the beginning. And like I said, the Lord allows me to. We're going to think about this tonight. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? I wasn't there, and you weren't either. So why do we not trust in him when he can do all those things we could never even imagine? Why do we trust in ourselves so much? One last thought here. Some people don't like salvation the way that God presents it. Sort of like the same thing. Where were you in the foundation of the world? And some people would say, well, I don't think there should only be one way to heaven. Okay. Doesn't matter what you think. It's the truth. Oh, I don't think Jesus had to die. What does the Bible say? Shedding of blood. Today, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's him and him alone. And many of us in this room would say amen, and many of us say, you're right, preacher, that's good. It's wrong for those people of the world to say, hey, there's another way. Hey, there's this way, and there's that way, and they make a mockery of things. You're right. We trust him when it comes to salvation. But do we trust him with our lives? Today, there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He paid that price for you. I want to encourage you to get that right today. Believe in what he says. But I got questions. I don't think many people understand all the doctrines of the Bible when they get saved. They just understand they're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for them and that God convicts their heart, and they get that right. But I don't, life hasn't been the way I thought it was going to be. It's okay, God's still willing to save you. But it doesn't make sense how God would come to this world and die on the cross for the sins of mankind that rejected him. It doesn't make any sense. It just speaks of the love of God for us. And we accept it. And we believe it. That's what faith is. It's not a blind faith. Science agrees with the Bible. History agrees with the Bible. There's evidence after evidence after evidence found in the scriptures of truth. And God speaks to our hearts. And God pulls our heart. He convicts our heart. He shows us our need. I understand all that. But it simply is having faith and trust and believing what God did for us. And we would never question God and say, God, I don't think that's the way you should save people, because we've been saved, many of us. But why do we question him with our lives? And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know why God had me switch to two sermons. I thought it would have been a lot better if I could have done the one first and did this one tonight. But at Christmas time, you go back to that first Christmas. There were people there not getting what they wanted. Consider all those people that lost those two-year-old sons and under that Herod killed them. What a tragedy. God, why are you doing this? I don't got to tell God how I do it, but we think about it. Even Mary and Joseph, that perfect couple, and they had the baby, and they had to flee to Egypt. God, why? You don't have to tell God how to do things. God took all those things, answered all those prophecies, and he made all those things work together for good. And Christ is dying on the cross for us. We can trust him today. Are you trusting him when you're not getting what you want? Are you trusting him when sometimes you got questions? Are you trusting him when things just don't make sense? He's worthy of our trust. Trust in him. And when you consider Christmas this year, everything doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to trust in him. You don't have to create things and make things happen. God is able to do everything he needs to do. Does he need our help? He doesn't. But thankfully, he uses us for his honor and glory, and we should be willing and interested in doing that. Do you trust him with your life today?